Hey there, this is Sarah Bone, and I'm so happy you're joining me on the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our hope that these words help you know who Jesus is and what he's done for all of us. Thanks for listening. Now let's dive in.
This morning, I have the privilege of starting a new series that we are calling His Word for My Year. His Word for My Year. Now, we hope and we've been excited about this series, trusting that it is going to play a key part in shaping all of our 2025s. I don't have to tell you this because you know, particularly here in the United States of America, that a new year typically gives us this excuse to ask the question, what can I do a little bit better to become a little bit better this year? As the calendar turns and new year begins, it just feels like this fresh opportunity to start by asking the question, what can I do a little bit better to be a little bit better this year? And for some of us, we chase that end. We answer that question by setting up resolutions, New Year's resolutions, which are typically like a list or a set of goals or behaviors that we intend to prioritize if we're going to become better this year than we were last year. And a more recent trend, which many of us lean into, is this idea of choosing a word for the year. Not so much a resolution, but a word for the year. And that tends not to be so much about something I hope I do more or I do less necessarily, but it's a word that summarizes what I hope will be true in my experience this year. So we choose a word for the year that we hope will hover as a banner over our year that represents what we hope will be true in our experience if we are going to be better, become better than we were last year, and have a better year than we had last year. So we thought, hey, why not lean into these New Year's traditions by working on our words for the year together? Better yet, we thought, what if we worked on God's words for our year together? Because here's the thing, if we choose a word for our year, then that word becomes a possibility. If we choose God's word for our year, that word becomes a guarantee. Because I read somewhere, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, that grass withers and flowers fade away when the Lord's breath blows on them, but the word of our God will stand forever. It is unshakable. Then Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. What God says stands unshakable. And we ask the question, well, what if the word we chose was his word over our year? In that case, whatever we built the year on would become by nature unshakable. If you're going to choose a word as a banner over your year, you might as well choose a word that comes with a little holy guarantee. If your word this year is founded on his word this year, then that word is as strong as he is. Now, maybe you've already chosen a word for the year. Great. And also, congratulations. This series, I trust, will give you an opportunity to reevaluate and reinforce that word. So for some of you, maybe you double down on that word. For some of you, you might upgrade the word. Now, for some of you who are sitting in this room, you're like, listen, I don't do childish games like words of the year. I don't choose words for the year. Well, we're glad you're here. And non-chooser is your word for the year. But I mean, I don't know. We would encourage you to consider this as a possibility. Obviously, you're going to get a very clear sense that no one is pressuring anyone to do anything. But welcome to it. We don't believe word of the year is a magic formula. It is just for us an excuse to call people to build their year on what God says. Now, because I don't assume everybody practices this whole word for the year idea, I'm going to talk about it like you are all aliens from an unnamed English-speaking planet, and we are kind of starting from scratch. How does one go about choosing a word for the year? Here are a couple of guidelines I would give. Guideline number one. If you're going to choose a word that you hope will hover as a banner, if you're going to choose a word that you trust will mark your year and become the experience for your year, I would encourage you to make it personal. Make it personal. Because I know some of you are so generous and very giving and very self-sacrificial, and you may want to choose a word for all the people in all the places that you have all the feelings for. And we would suggest that's great, but choose a word for your year. Not a word for your mom's year. Not a word for the country's year. Not a word for the team's year per se. No, you, your year. What do you hope will be more true in your personal experience? Make it personal. A second thing I would say is, man, make it something to pursue. Make it a pursuit. Make it a pursuit. Don't choose something to refrain from this year. Choose something to run after. Don't choose something to stop this year. Choose something to start. Don't choose something to try and do a little less of this year. Choose something to try and do more of, to become more of. Make no mistake about it. Any worthy pursuit will naturally demand that you release things that are lesser. You don't have to go after those things. Chase a worthy pursuit, and it'll call you to release things that are not the best, to run after the better. But I would encourage you, don't start your year setting it up on the defensive. Here's what Paul says. I love this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. I'm not there yet, Paul says. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking down. I ain't looking around. I'm pressing heavenward this year. Make it personal and make it a pursuit. Okay, great. But how do I go about choosing a word? Okay. I would say if you're going to ask the question about a word that you would pursue and make personal, here are a couple of things I would say. Start with the lack or the longing. What is something, perhaps the thing, that you feel is most lacking in your life? Let me build on that thought, and please hear me. What is something that you would say is most lacking in your life? And if you had more of it, it would make you more of who God created and called you to be. What is it? As you look at your own life and you look at your own story, what is lacking in there? And you just like, if I had a little more of this in 2025, y'all, I feel like it would make me more of who God has created and called me to be. If I gave you 10 minutes, which I won't, do it on your own time. Thank you very much. But what would you come up with if I had more of this? It would make more of me in the ways that matter most. Or maybe for you, it's not necessarily the lack, it's a longing. What is the thing that you most long for in your life? Meaning there is a lingering ache because of its absence. Like you think about it on a semi-regular basis. I long for this thing. I want this thing. Matter of fact, if people ask me like, how can I pray for you? I often think about this thing. Whether it's the thing I tell them or not, it's the thing I think about. I need more of this in my life. I long for more of this in my life. Because if you had it or had more of it, you believe it would make you more who God created and called you to be. What is it? What is the thing that you lack or the thing that you long for that you believe if you had it, it would make you a little bit more Jesus-like and a little more heaven-ready? And oh, by the way, in case you're like, well, but making it personal feels selfish, trust me. If you had more of whatever that thing was that made you more of who God created you to be, and it made you a little more Jesus-like and a lot more heaven-ready, I promise you, it would make you the most effective person in the world around you. You would make the greatest difference in the spaces into which you step. What is that thing for you? And for some of us, it might be a behavior. If I did more of this, or if I did that a little bit better, I feel like I'd be a better version of me this year. For some of us, it's a discipline, maybe. Like, if I just, lack of prayerfulness in me, like if I prayed more, or if I mourned more, because I've experienced a lot of heartache, but I've just kept moving on. I feel like if I stopped to just mourn this year, I would be a better version of myself. For some of you, it's like, it sounds very elementary, but if I Bibled more, like if I just sat in His Word more this year, I feel like it would make me more. If I experienced more solitude, if I shared Jesus more this year, for some of us, it may be a discipline. For some of us, it may be a trait that comes to mind. Like, and if I was a little more gentle. I've wounded a lot of people, and I've heard what they've said to me. And if I was just a little more gentle this year, if I was a little more generous this year, I've held on to things tight-fistedly, and if I just was a little more generous this year, I feel like it would make me more of who God has created me to be. If I was just a little more courageous, because I've been so tentative, and I second-guess everything, and I'm not sure about anything, and so I'm slow to decide, and I'm still holding out on decisions that I need to. If I was a little more courageous this year, if I was a little more patient, maybe it's a trait. Maybe for some of you, it's a delight. Like, if I delighted in simplicity more, everything feels so complicated. If I delighted in more simplicity, or if I delighted in being more present with the people around me, I feel like I would be a better version. For some of you, it is something you explicitly long to experience more of. If I experience more joy in my life, or peace in my life. If I experience more awareness, it feels like I've not experienced wonder since I was a child. I just keep rushing by and I've lost a sense of awe about the simple things in the world around me. And I lost a sense of the presence of God and Jesus and what's happening. And if I was just more aware, maybe I would be a better version of who I was created to be. For some of us, it's a posture thing. Surrender or dependence or quickness to obey. For some of you, like longing, and what's lacking, easy, cash, baby, straight cash. It's more cash, thank you very much. For some of you, it's like it's cuddles, straight up cuddles. And I'm telling you, if you believe that cash or cuddles, or more cash and more cuddles would make you more of who Jesus has created and called you to be, then I'm like, write that word down. For some of you, you're like, it's social media followers. It's likes. Because if I had more likes, then I'd be more liked. And I feel like that would make me more like Jesus. I don't know. But if that's the thing, then write it down. Write it down. For me, man, I landed on rest. I don't know. Maybe the more honest way to say that is rest landed on me. There's been a lack of rest in my life for years and years and years. But that lack became a longing in the recent months. And I just know if I can learn to lean into rest more, I will be more Jesus-like and more heaven ready this year. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to rest. Rest. The intentional windows of time to cease striving and allow my body and soul to refresh and recharge. My whole being has been screaming for this for years. There are a couple of brothers who were elders who we would meet together, and they've said to me for years when we would meet, like, I don't know, we think you should consider what it looks like to add rest into your rhythms of life. Now, I may not have said this explicitly or out loud to them, but I'm thinking in my heart, like Martha, like, things need to get done. Like, ministry doesn't take care of itself. Sunday is coming every week. I'm sorry, but family needs don't stop. I don't have time to rest. And if I was a little more honest, I'd probably have said to them, plus, I'll have you know, I'm built different. I'm built different. I don't need rest like other people. I have a high capacity to keep pushing through exhaustion. I have a low threshold for crashing. I'm good. I didn't feel a longing for rest, even though my body felt and expressed the lack of rest. I'm built different. So dumb. So dumb. And then, man, in the recent months, God is like, all right, let's see. Just how different. We'll come back to that in a bit, because we're not talking about me. We're talking about you. What's your lack? What's your longing? What's the deficit? What's the desire in you? If you had more of this in your life in 2025, you would become more of who God has called and created you to be. Start there. What is that word? What is that idea? What is that concept? And then I would ask the question, where in God's word is that word found or founded? In other words, what does God's word have to say about your word? Because y'all, if those two can mash up, then suddenly it's more than just a word. It becomes a foundation you can stand on. What does God's word have to say about your word, that thing you're lacking or maybe longing for? And if you don't know what God's entire Bible has to say about that word, well, go to seminary, sis. Like, get a Bible degree. Like, that, I'm kidding. That's not funny. It's funny to me, but it's really not funny. I cannot tell you how spoiled we are in the time and age and area in which we live to have every resource at our fingertip. I'll give you just three. Number one, a concordance. Hand up if you know what a concordance is. Yo! Did you know that these old school physical Bibles, many of them at the back, it has a concordance. It's a bunch of words that are listed alphabetically. And then it gives you a bunch of verses to tell you where in the Bible it talks about that particular word. It's like a concordance. Let me pick this, the back of my Bible. I'm just going to pick one page randomly and let's see what we land on. Oh, Lord, help me. So circumcised, it says. And then, you can't plan this stuff. And then it lists, like, where in the Bible it talks about that. So if that's your word for the year, y'all, you are set up for success. Lordy! Circumstances, it says. And then it talks about citizenship and civilian and claim. And it just alphabetically literally goes and tells you where in the Bible it talks about those different passages. You don't have to be a seminarian. You don't have to have a Bible degree, y'all. We have resources at our fingertips. Let me give you another one. How many of you are familiar with BibleGateway.com? Like, what? It's like the Google Bible. You go to BibleGateway.com and you can put in a concept, you can put in a sentence, you can search by idea, you can search by like, huh? Right? And it literally, it does the work for you. And you can say, I want to filter because I don't want to know where it says it in the New Testament. I want to know where it says it in the Old Testament. Well, can I search by where it's found in the book of the... There are so many ways to punch in your word or your concept, your idea, and it will populate for you what the Bible has to say about it. And then, man, as you start to read over those passages of scripture, watch out. The Holy Spirit will do something and it's like, that's it! That resonates so deeply with me, and I'm going to take my word and maybe even pick a different word in this passage. And there are so many resources. Let me give you another one. How many of you are familiar with Google.com? Y'all, you can literally go to Google and ask Google, what does the Bible say about cuddles? And it will tell you. what does the Bible say about straight cash, homie? And it literally will give you all kinds of resources. I'm telling y'all, you don't have to sit with a word that is not found or founded on his word, because the resources allow you to figure out what he has to say about this. Some of you have picked a word for the year, and I just want to ask you, like, have you done the work to ensure that whatever your word is, a word that is unshakably founded on something he has said? You want to just simply ask the question, where is this word or concept or idea, this longing, this lack, this desire, this deficit, where is this found or founded in his word? And you can figure that out while I'm talking. That's not a recommendation. It's just telling you how simple it is. For me, my prayer and my pondering led me to one of the most well-known passages in the Bible. It confirmed my lack of rest and his leading. And I knew I was going to found my year on his word. And that word was a passage of scripture, Psalm 23, one of the most popular passages of scripture. Whether you've grown up around the church or you've heard about the church, you've likely heard something about Psalm chapter 23. And while I have the microphone, so I'm going to just talk a little bit about what it is that I saw and what it is I long to stand on as my word met his word, and I'm building my year on what he has to say. I'm going to read the first six verses of Psalm 23, and I'll just, man, invite you to breathe it in. This is Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ooh! I don't know what your word is or where your word is founded, but that is mine. So stay away from it. Get your own. I'm kidding. I'm a generous soul sometimes. And I'm just saying, listen, I don't know. For some of you, you may have just listened to those words and something in your spirit said, can we share? And the answer is absolutely. Man, this section of scripture has spoken to me. And through this series, we are going to take different steps in not only discovering what his word for our year might be, but then what do we do with that? And where do we even physically place it in our home so we can see it and say it on a regular basis? So that it's not just something we did one week, one Sunday at the start of the year, but it's something that we continued to have serve as a banner and a foundation over our year. Psalm 23, y'all. Woo! The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. Jesus is the one who leads me to the places where I experience and enjoy my best. Jesus is the one who's taking me to the places where I become everything that he has called and created me to be. Jesus is my shepherd. He's the one who knows where and what is best and best for me. And he is actively leading me towards it, like right now. I don't rest because I don't believe that. First of all, naturally, I hate needing anything from anyone at any time. I'm not going to ask all the independent people to put their hands up in the house of the Lord. But if I can avoid needing anything and anyone, I am going that route. I am not about to risk being disappointed. I'm not about to risk having someone hold something over my head, because remember, we did that thing for you. So I tend to lean into independence. And I tend to tell Jesus, hey, Lord, I'll text you. Or I'll tag you in. When I absolutely have no other options. Otherwise, I got it. I got this. Feel free to take care of all the crises going on in the world and all of those other needy people. I'm good. I've got this. Plus, Jesus, no offense, but you understand the terrain. A first century Middle Eastern culture, yes, but it's 2025. Jesus, what do you even know about ChatGPT? What do you even know about cryptocurrency? What do you even know about online betting and dating apps? We got this. And so what I tend to actually believe, the way I tend to write Condo 23 verse 1 is, my dreams are my shepherd. Jesus, feel free to be my chauffeur. I've got dreams and goals and ambitions of what I think I need to be and what I need to chase. If I'm going to be the best version and the most impressive version of myself and the person who leaves the greatest impact and the highest legacy and people know me and they respect me and they look to me, I got this. I've got my dream. Now, I won't mind, Jesus, if you kick down a door open so that I can walk through it to chase my dreams. I won't mind if you remove a few of my opponents or get rid of some obstacles. But my dreams are driving. They are my shepherd. That's what's leading me. I don't need a leader. I know what's best for my life. And before long, I barely notice his presence. And before long, I seldom hear his voice leading. Now, don't get me wrong. I still engage Jesus, but it tends to often be like, all right, 2025, come on. This is where I'm going. Feel free to stop me if you really, really don't like it. Jesus, feel free to redirect my plans. But if you don't, I'll just assume you're good with them. Okay, maybe redirect my plans a little bit more viciously than that. All right, I'm sending some people to just tell you they're concerned about the direction. No. Redirect, like, really, really. After a while, it's like, I don't really want redirection. I just want him to, the Lord is my blesser, my chauffeur, my cheerleader. My dreams are the shepherd. The problem is, how can I possibly, run towards being everything that he has called and created me to be if I'm not him? He alone knows what he carved, what he created, and what he called me to be. What foolishness for me to be like, I know Jesus, but I've been on Instagram and I've seen some people doing some pretty cool things with their lives, and I just want to mimic that. And I feel like if I could do what they're doing and I could go where they're going, like I feel like I would be the best version of me and I'd be very happy. And Jesus is like, but I'm the one who shaped you in your mother's womb. I'm the one who placed my anointing on your head. I'm the one who called you. I know you don't. But for me, more than that, do you have any idea how exhausting it is to try and do a job designed for Jesus? Like, why is my soul so exhausted? Why am I constantly weary? Listen, this is a weight you were never designed to carry. Being the shepherd of your own story. Being the guide of your own life. Stop it. That's his job. But when I insist, it's like, okay. And so I start to live with a lot of anxiety and I start to live with a lot of worry. Why? Because did I make the right move? Was that the right call? Was that the right decision? Did I miss a turn? Did I do that the way I was supposed to do it? Because they did it and it worked differently for them, and I don't feel like an... And before long, I start to live with the weight and the worry of trying to play a role that is not my role to play, because shepherding my life is Jesus's job. And then anxiety becomes exhaustion, and exhaustion becomes dejection, and dejection becomes on and on. It goes. I'm falling behind. Behind what? I don't know, but I feel like this year I want to lean into the rest that I knew as a kid. When I could fall asleep in the back seat because I knew my dad was driving. Do you know how restful it is when you trust who's driving? Do you know how much rest there is? And like, I'm sorry, Jesus, so you're saying you've got this? I got this. Okay, I can rest in that. I want to lean more into that. If you're leading, we will get to where we're supposed to go, and it will be the best version of everything I was designed to be. I love this passage. He says in that very verse, look at it again. When the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Do you know how much rest lies in those words? That when Jesus is leading, he makes sure I have absolutely everything I need to get to where he is taking me next. But I don't have that. They have that. You don't need that to go where we're going. And where we're going is best. But I don't have enough of it. If you don't have enough of it, it's because you don't need it for where we're going when I'm leading. But it popped up on my feed and it said I needed it. Stop taking your cues from all of that. If I'm leading, you lack nothing. Some of y'all need to hear that right now. you lack nothing. I don't know what your family members spoke over you over the break that made you feel like, I don't have enough this, I don't have enough that. You lack nothing when Jesus is leading. Do you know how much rest is in those words? But if I'm leading, I'm comparing to other people's paths and perpetually feel like I don't have enough. And eventually feel like I'm just not enough. Not enough what? I don't know. Just more stuff. I don't know. Don't have enough. Don't have enough what? Don't have enough time. That's a big one for me. I've just felt haunted by this idea that I don't have enough time and I have so much to do. If I'm going to go where my dreams are leading, I've got to be impressive for the high school reunion or whatever. I don't even know. And before long, I hear absolutely tragic things, like my wife saying to my baby girl, "Leave your dad alone. He's busy." And I can see the confusion in my daughter's eyes. She's like, "But he's sitting right there. How can I not go give him raspberries? He has places to go and dreams to chase." Y'all, consistently feeling behind and stressed out by unplanned interruptions. They're just not my thing. My dreams did not budget for this. The sense that I'm running out of time and I'm losing ground. I remember how depressed I was when I turned 30. That was a long time ago. I felt like I should have been doing something bigger with my life by now. And I'm 30, my life is pretty much over. Oh, man. And everybody I was comparing myself to by 30, do you know what they had done? Not enough. So it made me strive and press and reach and get tired, but I can't stop, otherwise I will fall behind. And yet here stands Jesus literally offering to take me to the places where I thrive and to always make sure I always have absolutely everything I need for where he is leading me. Let me lead. Condo, I don't care what Insta says, you have enough of everything you need for where we're going. And where we're going is best. And this year I want to rest in knowing I have everything I need. I don't have to strive. I don't have to worry. I don't have to feel like less. All right, let me do a couple more quick ones, yeah, because this is just Psalm 23, verse 2 says, "He, Jesus, he makes me lie down in green pastures." He makes me lie down in green pastures. Okay. But you see what I'm saying, though, in my defense. Jesus doesn't get it. I don't have time to stop and lay around in grassy meadows, Jesus. We've got stuff to do. If I lay down in some grassy meadow, you know what will happen? Some tortoise will pass me up. Build a bigger, more impressive church, and preach more effectively. Mm-mm. We gotta go, Jesus. Plus, has anyone seen Jesus' pace? Very underwhelming. My word, he is never rushed. He's never frenzied. He's never feeling this pressure to go, 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 go. He's not that guy. If I follow him, I feel like he'll slow me down and I'll lose, you know, that promotion to Scotty Suckup at work who stays till 9 p.m. every night. So nope. No thanks, Jesus. lay down in grass. That's how people get fitter than you. Can't sit in grass. But Jesus, if you want to sit in grassy meadows with your guitar, feel free. And Jesus would tenderly scream, I promise you, if I lay you down to rest in green pastures, it's because that's exactly what you need to be fully who I've called you to be. Plus, condo. My Father rested. I rested. Just how different do you think you're built? Like better than us? I will push and push and press through and even believe it's because, again, I have a higher capacity. Like my kids, I don't need to nap, but I don't feel burned out. I don't feel like I'm about to crash quite yet. I can push a little more. Can we just pause and say how beautiful it is that the shepherd in Jesus prioritizes rest so much, y'all, that he will eventually make his people lie down in green pastures. And that's what happened to me last year, y'all. Condo, you refuse to slow down. I will slow you down. And that's where some of us are right now. If you refuse to lie down, I will make you lie down. And making is always more painful than choosing. But both are driven by a shepherd who loves us. Man, it started physically for me last year. My body was screaming, we can't keep pushing like this. So I'm not gonna work like I used to. And you're gonna experience pain that you haven't experienced before. And you're not going to be able to just push through. You are going to be forced to stop. Mentally, man, I've felt unusually down and pessimistic and unable to just kind of put a spin on things and kind of tap into some positive way of thinking through things. It's like, no, you are going to reach out to people and you are going to tell them you need help. My memory got super foggy. My decision-making lethargic, tired. I met with a counselor friend who was telling me, well, that's it. You need to go get a complete blood test. I was like, blood test? I don't know if you knew, but I'm built different. I don't even know if a needle can go in my body, bro. Turns out, we're doing just fine. Jesus is like, I have no problem making you lie down. But in 2025, I would rather choose rhythms of rest. Not because I feel forced, not because I feel burned out, but because it's what Jesus says I need as a regular practice. Slow down and just sit. So if you see me walking around in nature, just know. It's the closest thing to green pastures. And I'm like, okay, I want to learn to practice rest. So don't come up to me and ask me, hey, how do you have time for this? That won't be nice. I will cut you with a blade of grass nicely. I'm telling you, man, I may dust off my snowsuit, go play in the snow with my kids. You're just going to lay in snow? Yeah, it's white pastures. We live in Indiana. It is what we have. Do a puzzle. Play sorry with my kids. Just rest. right, one more. Then the team is going to come out. But it says in the second part of verse 2, he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. I'm like, nope. I don't do quiet. I need noise. I need distraction. I may be addicted to noise. Because if you get all up in that quiet, then you're going to get in touch with all of these thoughts that you think and these feelings that you feel. And no time for that. That's where you start to discover insecurities you've been overcompensating for. That's where you start to find unhealed wounds and unaddressed trauma in the quiet. I want nothing to do with that. So Jesus, excuse me if I always blast the music when I'm in the car. Excuse me if I always pick up my phone at a red light. I don't want anything to do with quiet. Excuse me if I escort myself to sleep by watching something on the screen, because I don't want to accidentally run into quiet and have to face who I am and what's going on the inside of me and all the things I really feel about myself. Nope. And yet, to be the best version of me, Jesus knows my soul needs seasons of quiet. And he wants to take me there. And y'all, he wants to speak to me in the quiet. Because would you know it, the same places where my wounds might scream and my insecurities might surface, that's the same place where his voice speaks to me. And that's the place where he wants to meet me and heal me. Read the rest of the verse. It says, I restore your soul in the quiet. I don't surface things to hurt you. I surface things to heal you of them. And so I've started doing weird old school stuff, like getting to a stop sign and just leaving my phone alone. Just saying, God, are you the speaker at red lights? I miss the days. I started doing strange stuff like going between destination A and destination B and not playing any music. And it's weird. You start thinking and stuff. And he starts whispering and stuff. And in 2025, I want to lean into rest in the quiet where he refreshes my soul, and I'm not running around trying to fix everything and do everything. And as you continue to read this, he talks about everything, righteousness, because I'm a striver, y'all. Like, I'm going to figure out my bad behavior. I'm going to try and do less. I'm going to strive to do better things. And he's like, I lead you in paths of righteousness. I do that. What explains why I live with so much shame and so much guilt, because I can't cut it and I keep failing in the same ways. And he's like, I got you, but you got to lean into me. Gotta lean into me. And all your enemies and all of the difficulty and all the tension and the people you disagree with, and you call your friends and you like get an echo chamber of people to agree with you, like, I'll prepare a table in the presence of whoever your enemies might be. We're gonna give you 60 seconds or so just to quietly seek, ask him, what is my word? What is the lack, the longing? What is the thing that if I did or had more this year, I would be more of who you've called and created me to be? And so we're just going to give you, like, take a minute of quiet if you can handle it. You might start thinking, you might start feeling, he might start speaking. But I want to invite you, let's take a moment right now and just ask him, what is it that you want to speak as a banner over my year? And if you've chosen a word, just bring that word to him. Say, Lord, is this it? Would you confirm and affirm that? And then we'll sing a song together. Let's take a moment to pray.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to see you in person next Sunday at either 9 or 10:45 a.m. at the Warsaw High School Performing Arts Center. For more information, visit us at missionpoint.net. Have a great week!